Yes, welcome to the Shir on this week's Parsha, Parshas Tazrim and Torah. And the title of the Shir is Torah in the Womb. So I appreciate you coming to the Shir tonight. And we're going to discuss the beginning of Parshas Tazria, the first two psukim, and look at some Midrashim, some Gemaras. And we'll also discuss the famous Medrash, where it says that the baby, the fetus, is taught the whole Torah in the womb. So we'll discuss that and try to analyze it. So let's look at the psukim inside. Look at source number one. It's on the source sheets or right on the screen. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el bnei Yisrael lemor isha ki sazria of yalda zachar v'tam ashiv asimim ki mei nidas devosa tetma. So when a woman gives birth to a son, to a boy, she becomes tamei, she's impure for 7 days, the same as if she were a nida. Okay, so we're not really going to take up the pshat of this pasuk. We're going to go straight to the Midrashim. Okay, so let's go to the Midrash itself. It says, Isha ki sazria v'yalda zachar. Zesha amar kasav, mi yitneni kirche kedem. So let's look at that pasuk. It's from Iov. And it's, again, I just want to read it properly. It says, mi yitneni kirche kedem. Oh, that I were, as in the months go by, in the days when God watched over me. That's the end of the pasuk. Kimei Eloka Yishmereni. So Iov, when bad things happened to Iov, to Job, a lot of his children were killed and he lost everything. So he said this pasuk. So there's a connection between that the Medrash makes and our pasuk in Tazria. Okay, is there a raised hand? Or was that an accident?
Yeah.
Oh, it does? Am I like, is everybody else hearing that or just you? Is anybody, can somebody else, yeah, chime in?
I hear it too.
You hear it fine? Wait, do you guys hear it fine or it's also broken? Hello? All right.
I can't hear you.
So let me just let me call back in and I'll start again.
That's fixed. Keep it out. You're good.
Oh, it's better? All right, great. Awesome. I didn't do anything, but it works. Okay, great. So tell me again if it happens again and then I'll just call back in. All right, so we go to the Medrash on the first two psukim and it takes up this pasuk from Iov and it finds an interesting relationship between the pasuk in Iov and the psukim in Tazria. So let's go back to the Medrash, source number two. It says, Zesha amar kasav mit neni kiyarche kedem. So I wish I was as I were before, meaning all before everything that happened to me that was bad. This is Iov saying this. Hamikra ze amru Iov b'shal shebo alav yesurim. So when all the bad things happened to Iov and he lost his everything that he had, he said this pasuk, amar mit neni, I wish I was as I was before. The pshat is that he wished this never happened to him. Rav Levi Omer, Ein Zeh Pasuk Medaber, Ela Kesha Adam Nasun B'Mei Imo. So this pasuk is referring to when an individual is a fetus in their mother's womb. Kimei Eloka Yishmereni. The end of the pasuk says that in those days, Hashem protected me. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mishamro B'Mei Imo. So when a fetus is in its mother's womb, Hashem protects it. De Amar of Abba Bar Kahana. So Rav Abba Bar Kahana said, "Im yitol adam pinda v'yitin ba ma'os." If a person has a purse or a wallet and he puts money into it, v'yitin pia lamata, and you turn it upside down, hama'os noflos. So gravity. So what happens is that the money falls down. V'zosa isha mahaleches al shtei raglea. So this woman, she's walking. V'ape pasuach milamata. V'atino kaved. She has a heavy baby, and there's a place for the baby to come out and just fall out. But it doesn't happen. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishamro. But Hashem protects the baby from just falling out naturally. Alzeh Omar Iov. So Iov says, Kimei Eloka Yishmereni. That's what Iov is saying when he says that as I was protected in the past. Klomar, meaning to say, Mi Tein Shaya Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishamreini Ki Yamim Harishonim Asher Hayisi B'Mei Imi. So he's asking that Hashem protect him the same way that Hashem protected the fetus in the womb, in the mother's womb. Okay. Interesting example that the Medrash is bringing down, but the question is, what's the connection here between you know, what's the idea? Let's forget about the connection. What's the concept that he's asking, basically, to be like a child in the mother's womb and be protected in that way? So what's the nature of this type of request or this desire that he has? Because there's also negatives to being a fetus. And he's basically negating his adulthood and the fact that he has a developed Tzelem Elokim. So what is this strange desire that he has that the Psukim are mentioning for to be like he was in the state where he was in his mother's womb? So let's look at the Psukim inside to get a better idea. So it's a little, I have the English right here, so I'm just going to read it off, the English. It says, Vayosef Iov Se'es Mishalo Vayomar. So it says, Job again took up his theme and he said, Mi yitneni ki yarche kerem ki mei aloka yishmerini. Oh, that I were as in months gone by, in the days when Hashem watched over me. So he felt like Hashem wasn't watching over him, and that's why all this stuff happened to him, the bad stuff. Mitzudas David, over there in source number 4, he just gives the pshat. He says, Mi tein osi lios ata kimo shayisi b'chadashim akodun kimo yamim asher shmerani aloka. So I wish I was, or who's going to make me to be now as if I was before this, meaning transform me into what I was before all this bad stuff happened, in the times where Hashem protected me. So that's the pshat. The pshat is that he's just asking, or he's reminiscing about the fact that he felt more protected in the past before all the bad things happened to Eov, when he had, you know, his large family and he had all the wealth. And when he lost it all, he's saying, I wish I was back where I was before this all happened. So keep going in the psukim, because we're going to come up upon them as we go through. We go through this year. Bihilo Nero Alai Roshi La'oro Elech Choshech. So when his lamp shone over my head, when I walked in the dark by its light. Kasher Yisi Bimei Harpi Bisod Eloka Alai Ohali. When I was in my prime, when Hashem's company graced my tent. Hashem was with me in my tent. All right, so those are the psukim. We're going to see some more psukim as we go through the Gemara. But again, the question is, what is this strange request based on the Medrash? The pshat makes sense. He's reminiscing about the past and he wishes that he felt protected as he was in the past. But now the Medrash is saying that it's deeper, that he's reflecting on being a baby, a fetus in his mother's womb. And he wants that type of protection. So what is he asking for? And the Gemara, lest you think that the Medrash is alone in its assessment of what it's like to be a fetus, the Gemara actually corroborates the Medrash, or vice versa. Look in source number 5. It says, in Maseches Nida, daf lamed amud beis, v'ein lecha yomim she'adam sharoi betova yoser me'osan hayomim. So the best times in a person's life were in those days. Mi yitneni ki yarche kedem ki mei eloka yishmereni. As referenced by Eov in this pasuk. Ve'ezu yomim she'esh b'hem yerechem v'ein b'hem shanim. So what are the days where, what's it referring to when it refers to months as opposed to years? What is that referring to? Haviomer elu yarche leda. So it's referring to the time when you're in your mother's womb and therefore it's counted by months. She's 5 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant. So that's the time determined by months and not by years. So again, it's a reference to the greatness of being a fetus in your mother's womb. So the question is, this is the first idea that I just wanted to share, to try to answer that question. So what exactly is Eov expressing in his desire to be as he was when he was a fetus? What aspect? He ties it into the aspect of being protected by Hashem. So what is that concept? Can we explain that on a deeper, more philosophical level, as opposed to just saying that he wants to be a baby? So does anybody have any ideas? I don't want to, like, you know, just give a svara. If anybody has any possibilities, you know, feel free to share at this point. And if not, I'll give a svara. All right. So I was just thinking about this question for a while. And the idea that popped into my head was referring to what it means to be protected by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or to feel protected by Hashem. So most of the time, I think psychologically, when a person feels insecure, they're nervous, they're anxious, it's because, or it stems from an idea that you have control. And when something happens to you that shows or demonstrates that it's out of your control, you double down on the idea that you can control things, but there's also recognition that you can't control things. So that's what creates insecurity, that you have a desire and a feeling like you can control your life and you can protect yourself and protect your family. But then what happens is that there's some type of punch that you get, like EO, if you got a major punch in the gut, and you lost everything, and you feel like you can't control things, but there's still this conflict between whether you can control the future and whether you can control the present or not, or it's out of your control. And that conflict is what creates anxiety and insecurity, because, again, you still feel like you can control. But if you just gave up the notion, the basic foundation that you have control, and you realize that more things are out of your control than they are in your control, pretty much everything's out of your control because it's in the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you realize that, then you would feel a different sense psychologically of security. You wouldn't feel insecure because you would recognize that it's not in your control. There's nothing you could do about it. So you'd give up on this desire to control, this belief that you can control. So maybe that's what EO is referring to. In the times when a person is a fetus, they have no control at all. The whole thing, like the Medrash is saying, is dependent on Hashem. Your existence is completely dependent on Hashem, and it's nicker. It's obvious, it's recognizable in that situation when you're a fetus that you're completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your existence. You could just, again, like the Medrash says, you could just plop down and fall out and die. So there's a tremendous amount of a need in the times when you're a fetus. There is a need, and there's a recognition and a reality to the fact that you're completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps that's what Eov is asking for. He's not asking, obviously, to be like a fetus, but he's asking to gain that sense of recognizing that things are out of my control, that I really can't control things. And once you can give that up, once you can give up the desire to control things, the belief that you have real control over what's going on, so once you give that up, so it takes away a tremendous amount of insecurity. And at that point, you know, it seems like the Psukim are saying that Eov had a tremendous insecurity. He was afraid. He felt like he wasn't protected. So he's asking to go back to, or to be able to attain the level whereby he can give up on his belief and his notion that he really has true control, and recognize that control lies outside of himself. Once he could do that, then that would be the state of where Hashem is protecting him. So again, Hashem's protection is referring to a certain mentality that a person has about how things are out of your control and you don't really fully control your life at all. In fact, if Hashem wants you to die, you're dead. If Hashem, whatever Hashem's will is, you're subject to. So once you recognize that and you accept it, it really takes away a lot of the insecurity, the fears and anxieties, which Eov was expressing. So that was the first idea that I wanted to share in the shir, that in the times of being a fetus, it's the best time, because it's nicker in that time how dependent the human life is on outside forces, things outside of control, and specifically HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's more good stuff that happens in the womb. It's not just that. It's not just that there's a recognition of complete dependence, which only happens once in the existence, or at least it's nicker once in the existence of humans. But there's more good stuff. Look in source number 6. This is a famous idea, a concept, which we'll have to explain. So in source number 6, the Gemara keeps going. I broke it up a little bit just for the sake of trying to prepare the share and give it over in these steps. Umalamdinoso kol Torah kula. So the fetus gets to learn, or he is taught all the Torah. Shenemar, as it says, vayoreni vayomerli yismicha devarai libecha shemor mitzvosai vechyeh. As it says in the Pasuk, that he taught me and he told me to keep these words of Torah in my heart and to guard them in order to live. So it's a reference to the idea that the fetus is taught all of Torah. The Omer, and it also says, again, Besod Eloka Alai Oali. And it says, and that's a reference to Eov, that Hashem graced my tent, which is another reference to being a fetus and getting taught Torah. So Maiva Omer, so the Gemara asks, why do you need both Psukim? Why don't you just have the first Pasuk? V'chitema Navihu Deka Amar, Tashma Besod Eloka Alai Oali. So you might have thought that it's only a Navi that gets taught Torah in the womb, but not the average person. Kamash Malan, Eov, it's teaching you from Eov that everybody is taught the whole Torah by a Malach. The Malach's going to come up soon. V'chevan shebala avyar olam. But once a person is born and they come out into the world, ba Malach v'sitro al piv. So a malach, an angel comes along and slaps him on the mouth. O mishkacho ko haTorah kula. And he forgets the whole Torah. Shenemar la pesach chatas rovetz. So as it says, that sin is encroaching on you when you enter. So when you enter the world, sin is encroaching on you, meaning that the whole Torah that you learned, which would protect you, is gone. You lose it once you're born. Okay, so let's. So the questions that exist on this are, what does that mean exactly? What's the significance of being taught the Torah in your mother's womb? It's not. Is it really true that we're really taught the Torah? What does it mean? What can we glean from this Gemara if it's not literal? Because I'm not sure if it is literal. And why do you lose it all? I mean, it would be better if we had it all. So why do you lose it all? And keep going in the Gemara. There's another idea in the Gemara that comes up. Ve'inu yotze misham ad shemashbi'in oso. And furthermore, he can't leave there, the fetus, until he has to swear. Shenamar ki li sichra kol berach tishava kol lashon. The pasuk says that everyone will bow down to me on their knees and they will swear to me in every language. Ki li sichra kol berach. What does that mean? Ze yom hamisa, when you die. Shenamar lefanav yichru kol yorde afar. So when you die, it's a reference to the idea that you're bowing down in the dirt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tishava kol lashon, that you get sworn in any language. Ze yom haleda, that's the day of your birth. So on the day of your birth, you have to make a shvua, a swear to Hashem. Shenamar neki kapayim uvar leva v'ashelona sal l'shav nafshi nafsho v'lo nishba l'mirma. So it says that he whose hands are clean and has no sin, that they would not swear deceitfully. Umahi hashvua shemashbi'in oso. So what is this shvua that Hashem causes the fetus or the newborn? It's not a fetus anymore. It's a newborn to swear. Tihi tzadik v'alti rasha. Be a tzadik and don't be a rasha. V'afilu kol olam kulo omrim lecha tzadik ata. Even if everyone says you're so great, you're a tzadik, haya be'inecha kerasha, know that you're a rasha, or look at yourself as a rasha. This is all part of the swear that we all partake of when we're born. V'havi yodea sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tahor u'misharsav tahorim. Also, you should know that Hashem is pure and His servants are pure. V'neshama sh'nasan b'cha tahorahi. And the neshama that you got is also pure. Imata mishamra b'tahara mutav. So if you guard your neshama, great. V'im lav harini notla mimich. And if not, I'm going to take your neshama away from you and you're going to die. So this is a long swear that a newborn has to make to God. But the swear is that you'll be a good boy, that you'll follow the Torah. You'll recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tahor and He's pure and His Misharsav Tahorim. And you're going to guard your neshama. And you're swearing to Hashem that you're going to do all these things on the day of your birth. Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, one more point. Mashal HaKohen Shemaser Truma L'am Aretz. He gives an analogy. It's like a Kohen who gives Truma, which can only be eaten by a Kohen, to an Am Aretz. V'amar lo, imata mishamra b'tahara mutav. So if you guard it and you keep it tahor, great. V'im lav harini sorfa l'fanecha. But if you don't, I'm going to burn it in front of you. So same thing with a person, a regular person. You have this pure neshama, you have to keep it, you have to guard it, and if not, it'll be burnt up, and it'll be taken away from you by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two interesting parts to this story, or to this Medrash, Agadata. The first part is what we spoke about before, that every fetus is taught the Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, and then they're born. When they're born, it's removed. So what's the purpose of teaching the fetus Torah if it's going to be removed from the fetus? And then ultimately, the other point is how a newborn has to swear that he's going to be a good child, and he's going to follow and be a tzaddik and try to follow Hashem and recognize that Hashem is pure and all of his misharsim are pure and his neshama is pure. So I don't remember doing that when I was newborn. I don't know if any of us remember who are listening. So if we don't remember it, what exactly is the Gemara talking about? I don't think it's literal. Again, I don't think my parents remember that either. I don't know. My mom's on the line, so maybe she remembers. But I don't remember swearing that I'm going to be a good boy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I was a newborn. So what is it referring to if it's not, if we don't take it literally? What exactly is the Medrash teaching us? So in order to answer this, we have to take a deep dive into some of the Mefarshim. not so many, just the Maharsha, and we'll look at some other Gemaras, and then we'll come back to an answer, hopefully. So the Maharsha says over there, on this Gemara, on the first part, V'chivan sheyatza ba malach v'satra, shnevan pesachatas rovitz. So the Maharsha says that when a child, he's quoting the Gemara, when a child comes out, and most people think that the that part underneath your nose comes from the malach, that's what the famous story is. So in Sanhedrin, the question is raised, when is a Yetzer Hara, the part of a person that compels them to do or to violate Torah and to go against Hashem, when does it conquer a person? When does it overtake a person? Mishas Yitzira, it's from the time of creation, Dichsiv LaPesach Chatas. V'hainu yitzer hara, v'hainu malach ha-maves, k'damrinam perakama de bababasra ayin sham. And the Maharsha says that the yitzer hara and the malach ha-maves are similar in the sense that, I guess, they lure you into a position of death, into a situation of death. But there's a raya for the idea, that's his point, there's a raya for the idea that the yitzer hara is not sholeit until you're born. No, until you're created. So he says, mishas yitzira. So why don't we try to understand that, what the difference is between the two, what it's talking about. So what is that question? So look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Let's look at it inside. So this is the Gemara the Maharsha is quoting. So when does the Yetzer Hara control a person? When does it have a tremendous amount of force over a person? Mishas Yetzira or Mishas Yetzia? Is it from the time when the fetus is formed, or is it when they come out of the womb? So Amar Lo, so he said, Mishas Yitzira, from the time of creation. Amar Lo, so he said to him, this is, I think, Rebbe and, yeah, it's Rebbe. Amar Lo, Imkein, Boet B'mei Imo V'yotze. So if a person had Yetzer Hara that was so strong and controlled him in the womb, then they would just kick their mother in the stomach and get out of there when they could. Ella, Mishas Yitzia. The answer is no, that it's Mishas Yitzia. It's from the time that you come out. Amar Rabbi, Dabar Ze Lamdeni Antoninus. So I learned this from Antoninus, Umikra Messiah, Shinamar, LaPesach Chatas Rovetz. And the Pasuk actually proves it, because it says, LaPesach, to the entrance, Chatas Rovetz. Sin is encroaching on you. So really, I think the Marsha's Gersa is wrong. It should be Yitzia, not Yitzira. Mishas Yitzia, Dichsila Pesach Chatas. Because Antoninus is really a raya for Rebbe. And it's the idea that when you enter into the world, that's when sin is encroaching on you. So therefore, we see from that exchange that that really a person is sholeit, or their Yitzhara sholeit controls them once they're born, not before that point. But of course, the question is, what is that question? You know, can we define the question of whether or not the Yetzer Hara is sholeit a person in their womb or once they're born to a little bit further degree? And then we'll bring it back to our Gemara, hopefully. So we just need to do a little more research, a little more steps, and then we'll come back to a svara, an idea. So just look at the pasuk. It's from Kain and Hevel. It's when Hashem addresses Kain, he says, "Halo im teitiv se'esu im lo se'tiv la'pesach hatas rovetz ve'lecha tishukaso ve'ata tim sholbo." So Hashem says to Kayan, when he's upset that his korban wasn't accepted, he says, if you do a better job, then great. But if not, you know, in the sin will always encroach upon you in the entrance. And you can control it, or it can control you. It can control you, or you can control it. And you can conquer it. Okay, so what's that idea? All right. And let's just do Rashi. We're almost up to the Svara idea. Rashi says, Mishas Yitzia, Kishi Yotze Mimei Imo, O Mishas Yitzira. So when is a person's Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination, control them? Is it from the time they're in their mother's womb or from the time that they're created? Kishi Yotze, when they leave their mother's womb, Yitzia, or Mishas Yitzira. Amar Le Rebbe, Mishas Yitzira, from the time of creation. So Amar Lo Antoninus, Imkein, Boed Bimei Imo, Vyotze, Ela Mishas Yitziasa. So Antoninus said, no, that really, if that were the case, then the child would kick itself out of its mother. But rather, the answer is, Mishas Yitziasa, from the time of being born. And at that point, your Yetzer Hara has control over you. So what is the question here? Can we define the question to a deeper or a stronger degree? And then we'll just do the last marsha and give a svara, hopefully. So it says, a Pesach Chatas Ravid, so Yesh L'Hakshos Mehad Damrina Perek Beis De Yuma. So there's another question. There's a story in Yuma. Hahu Ubra De Archa B'Yoma Kippurim. So there was this pregnant woman on Yom Kippur, and she smelled some really good food, and she really wanted to eat the food. Asylakam Eder Meir, so the case came before a mayor. What should we do about this? This pregnant woman really wants to eat. So Amar Le, Lachisha La, so you should whisper to her that you're not hungry. And if you whisper to her you're not hungry, then she won't be hungry and she'll give up her desire. Velo Achisha, so but she didn't listen to that and she gave in and she ate. Kari Aleha, so Reb Meir said about her, Zohar Rishon Merechem, that her womb is going to be the producer of Rishayim. Meha Muchach Shesholei Yitzhara Gam Mei Imo. So it sounds like from that the Yitzhara does control a person even from when they're a fetus, because if not, why would this Rasha, or why would this ultimate future fetus be a Rasha from early on, from the time of, from even before birth? So the answer is, V'ha Yesh Liyashev Dal Yedei Imo, through the mother, Ki Hasam Efshar Deshuli Bo Yitzhara Kodam Hayetzia. If the mother's a Rasha, then it does. Aval b'vlad atzmo eino sholei yitzer hara. But from the framework of the vlad, of the actual child, the fetus, it doesn't. Dim kein hayaboi v'yotei. Because if that were the case, then it would kick its way out of the womb. And then he asks a great kasha. Kasha mehad darshina n'gabe v'yisrotetu habanim b'kirba. So there's a good kasha. By Rivka, when she had Yaakov and Esav in her belly, the Medrash says that whenever they would pass by a base of Odazara, Esav would try to get out, and whenever they would pass by a yeshiva, Yaakov would try to get out. So we see from there that the Yetzer Hara does control a person, although it's the Psukim themselves say that they were the same until Bar Mitzvah, until they were grown up. So it says, Shehaiso Overas al Pesach Avodas Kucham Vaya Esav Mefarches Latzes V'Kashili. So it's a question. He leaves it off as a question. What do you do with that Medrash? But the question that I'm asking the audience, the people who are listening to the shir, is what is this debate as to whether or not the Yetzer Hara emerges, or it's not that it emerges, it's saying Sholeipo. When does it control a person? Does it control a person, or I guess have some type of control in the womb, or does it control a person once they're born? So what is the question here? What's going on in this Gemara? And then maybe we could use this again to understand, you know, what our Gemara is saying. I think we can. All right. Are there any possibilities? Again, I just want to open it up. Anybody have any svaras, any concepts for what this question is? What does it mean, Mishas Yitzia or Mishas Yitzira, that the Yitzhar is sholeit? So in my estimation, this fits into the classic question of nature versus nurture. So I think the question is, do we say, everyone holds or maintains that the Yetzer Hara, the actual, you know, evil inclination, is innate. A child has it from birth. It's built into a person's future, built into a person's, the person's created with it. But the question is when it's sholeit. So when does it have power? Is that idea, the idea that the Yetzer Hara controls you, is powerful over you, is that something that's innate, that you're created with? Or is that something that's mostly influenced by the environment you're in? That when you're raised and when you're born, that's the Pesach Chatas Rovetz. Once you're exposed to the environment and all the temptations of the environment, that's when the Yetzer Hara takes hold and becomes more powerful and controls you. So that's the question. The question, I think, is a great philosophical, psychological question. The question is, do you say that the ability of the Yetzer Hara to control man, is that innate? Is that something that a human is created with? Or do you say that it's more influenced by the environment, that you have a Yetzer Hara and it's not dominant? It only becomes dominant because you're exposed to the world and to physicality, and the physical world lures a person in. And in that way, that's what happens to your Yetzer Hara. It becomes stronger and stronger, more powerful, and then it controls you. It takes hold of you. So which one is it? And in the end, they say it's Yitzia. It's funny. Nobody says it's a mixture of the two. Gemara, it's one or the other. But the idea seems to be in the end that it's Mishas Yitziyasa, that really you're born with a Yetzer Hara, but its ability to be sholeit on you is not really tied to an innate quality that you're born with, you're created with. However, it's it comes about through your exposure to this world. And when you're exposed to this world, and again, when you encounter things that entice you, that's when the Yetzer Hara starts becoming more powerful. And especially when you're younger, because you don't have a developed mind, you don't have a developed Tzelem Elokim either, and you can't really make the same decisions. So you're the right decisions. So you're growing up in a situation where you have no choice. Your Yetzer Hara will take hold of you, will conquer you. So I think that's the question that the Gemara is raising. But can we go back to our Gemara and back to the story of the Malach teaching us Torah, and we were removed, the Torah is removed, and what it means. And also the Shvua, what does that mean as well? Let's just do the Shvua idea, and then I think we can use what the Marsha and the Gemara was saying in Sanhedrin to try to answer fully what the our Gemara is saying. So what exactly is the Shvua? The Shvua was V'lo nishba lemirma shekiyam shvua so lishmor satorah di'i b'shvua ba'alma atu mishum d'lo nishba lemirma chashev luhu b'ulin b'har Hashem. So this Rashi just explained the idea that when we say that we're not swearing deceitfully, it's referring to the swear of a newborn, and that the newborn, it's his swearing is not going to turn out to be deceitful. But it explains, the Marsha explains it a little bit, and then we'll go back to it. Ki li sichra kol berech, shenamar, lefanav yichru kol yor de'afar. As it says, that before Hashem, this is from our Gemara, before Hashem, all those who die and who are stuck in the ground in the afar bow down to him on their knees. The Isa b'medrash, sha'adam b'shas misaso roe p'nei shechina. So there's a medrash that says when a person dies, they see the shechina, the presence of Hashem, Kipirish Rashi, B'sefer Tehillim, Tishava Kol Lashon, Ze Yom Haleda. But when do we swear in every language? That's the day of our birth. V'hikdim B'kra Yom HaMisa L'Yom Haleda. Yom HaMisa, the day of death, comes before the day of birth in the Pasuk. Dehachi Pirusho, this is the explanation. Shal Korchach Yichru Kol Yorde Afar B'Yom HaMisa. You have to say that when people die, they're going to be subservient to Hashem. Al shekfar nishba b'yom aleda, because they're already nishba, they already made this swear to be so, to do so from the time of their birth, to be subservient. U'maisi mikrush nemar nekip kapayim uvar leva b'lo nishba v'gomer. Mash maleda ashvua d'yom aleda ka'amar nekip kapayim. That's a reference to the shvua that we make as newborns. Kol el kol maise adam u'machshavosav shayu tovim. And it includes all the good that man does. It's included in that shvua. And ultimately, it comes to fruition when a person dies. And then they're sichra in front of Hashem, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But does this, so can we explain what the idea, the concept is of A, us being taught the Torah and losing it, and B, the fact that we're nishba to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be good and to recognize Hashem. So what does that mean? So I think that our Gemara is tied to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is saying that when a person is born, they're really in a situation of danger, because you know if not for I'll explain, but if not for what our Gemara is teaching us about how we were taught Torah and the idea of Shua, we would be completely lost. And it says La Pesach Chatas Rovitz, that Mishas Itzia, from the day of your birth, you're exposed to things around you that are going to obviously be powerful and lure you in and destroy your ability to control your Yetzer Hara, or make it much more difficult to control your Yetzer Hara. So we see from the day of birth that you're kind of doomed to failure. So our Gemara is saying that it's not so fast, that you're not really so doomed. The Gemara is teaching us two ideas. One is from the concept, what is the concept of being taught the Torah and then losing it? It's teaching us that we're given the capacity to learn, that the concept is that the Torah is open for us, that we have the ability to learn the whole Torah. It doesn't mean to grasp every aspect of the Torah, because that's infinite, but really the corpus of Torah, every human is built with a certain potential, the potential to learn Torah, the potential to gain a full corpus of Torah as much as possible. And that's what it means that we have it, but then it's lost. It means that it's built into us a certain potential to realize the truth of the Torah, to recognize its truth, and we lose it, meaning we don't have it means we don't have the practical idea, we don't have halacha, we're not, as newborns, we don't know what Erev's about, or we don't know what Hilchos Shabbos are, but it means that and it's trying to teach us that we are born with that capacity. We're born with a certain potential, and that's Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gives us a certain potential, and that's something that we can use in the fight against the Yetzer Hara. And the other is this idea of Shvua. So what is the concept of Shvua? So I think that, you know, I'm not sure if this is correct, but I'm just going to throw out an idea, a possibility. I think that it's referring to the idea that man has a need. There's a psychological aspect of man to search for God, to search for a system of mitzvos, to search for a system of rules. It's part of man's nature. Maybe you'll say it's evolution, which was designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's part of man's nature to seek out a God. That's why Avodah Zarah was so popular. People want gods. They want some sense of security outside of the self. And it's also people thrive on a system of law, on a system of rule, regardless of whether it's Torah. People thrive on it. They can't just live in an anarchistic society. It ends up breaking down. So I think that Hashem gave us this innate desire, part of our psyche, to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to seek out a God, and also to follow a system. And in doing so, it gives us kind of a strategy or an ability to fight off the Yetzer Hara, because even though we do have the Yetzer Hara, we do have the drive for lust and the drive, you know, to give in to our instincts and follow our instincts. Nevertheless, we're also given this positive, this idea of Shvua. We're given this idea that there's an innate aspect of our psyche that is searching for some system, or searching for God, and searching for... And I think that's just, I mean, psychologists have spoken about this. You know, Freud has a whole idea about it, that there is like a desire on the part of man. Of course, he thinks that it's purely psychological and there's no reality to God. But I think it's a combination of the two. Man, there is a reality, obviously, to Hashem, but man is built into man is the desire to find God, to seek out God. And that's part of the nature of man's psyche. It doesn't mean that it's made up or that God doesn't exist, like Freud would say, or other psychologists, and that it's purely an imagination or a need of man. But it's saying that that need itself, this Argamar is saying that need itself was designed into man in order to have a chance against the Yetzer Hara. Because when we're born again, we're really doomed, if not for the Chesed Hashem in these aspects of giving us the potential, our capacity to learn Torah, that we must recognize and accept and be grateful for, and also the ability to have this innate quality, this innate desire to seek out God, to seek out a system of rule, of law. And I think that's built into man. It could be because man needs security. It could be because man needs a certain system in order to keep us safe. Even so, it doesn't matter. The point is that it's built into our psyche to seek out God. And I think that's the idea of Shvua. It means that we're sworn to it. Like we're compelled by it. We're compelled by this idea, this recognition that we're going to be good and we're gonna do the good. And there's some type of aspect built into our psyches and our personalities that strive for that, that drive us for that. So we have two competing factors or parts of man when we're born. We have the Yetzer Hara, the Pesach Chatas or Veitz, and then we have Hashem's Chesed and giving us these two qualities, these two ideas, of A, our capacity to learn Torah, and B, the ability and the natural desire to seek out Hashem or God, and to seek out a system of law. And that helps us. That helps us fight the Yetzer Hara. There's one more idea in the shir. Just have a couple of minutes left, so I'll just talk about it. It's interesting. Hard for me to define it a little bit. There's not much to say on it, but I think it's interesting nevertheless. It's a medrash on Tazria. It says, Amar Rav Ivo, Maisa Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa Ima Adam Azeh. So Rav Ivo said that there's great miracles that Hashem does with man. Nason B'Kamon Yom Echad Ve'Eino Yachal Lisbol El Anafsho Mefarcheses Latzis. I think a kamon is an oven, because I looked it up. I think it's an oven. So if a person's in a very hot room or an oven, they can't tolerate it. They get out as soon as possible. Avalatino Kazeh Nason B'Me'imo Tisha Chadashim. But a fetus is in their mother's womb for 9 months. Ve'Akadosh Baruch Hu Meshamro. Hashem protects them. The Rabbeinu Omrim, so that's one miracle. And Rabbeinu Omrim, Maisa Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osim Adam, another nis that Hashem does with humans. Ma Adam Shu Nason Ba'ambati Yom Echa Nafsho Mevarcheses Latzis. If you're in a bathtub, you can't tolerate it. You'll drown, and you have to get out. It's your nature to escape. The Atinok Shenishmaso Kitzara, Atinok, a baby who has a very small neshama, Vu Nason B'Soch Shlosha Kisim, and he's stuck in three pockets, Beten Imo, the stomach, Hashilya, the shilya and a gimel besoch or dak, thick skin, the ein nafsho miskatzeres alav, and he's surviving. The fetus survives. Lama kadosh baruch hu osei imonisim. Lama kadosh baruch hu lamasha kadosh baruch hu osei imonisim. From the fact that Hashem does this nis, that he allows the fetus to sustain itself in the mother's womb, but it's not natural from our perception of how we can't, you know, this fetus is in fluid, and we don't, in our minds, in the perception of an adult male, it's not normal that we can exist in underwater in fluid. We don't see it that way. V'chein amar Elihu esa de'ilim erachok. Elihu said this in Eov, that I'll make my opinions, you know, well known. Haya Elihu roa heich niftach recham aisha be'esa leida v'nistam kimosha haya. He was fascinated by the fact that the womb expands when a woman gives birth, and then it contracts again. Vasvina shimachtichos etzem v'alea barzel v'avadam gedolos umasa gadol shetivam linar bayam. And another thing he was fascinated by was the fact that ships could float even despite the fact that they were very heavy. V'hi shata al pnei amayim. So how is that possible? V'haya tama me'od. He was very bewildered by these ideas. V'amar esa de'in l'merachok. I'm going to let everyone know. L'chach ne'amar isha kisazria. That's why it says isha kisazria. It's a recognition of the fascinating elements of childbirth. And then it keeps going. Just one more. It says davar acher kisazria. Amar of Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, shtei recho shel isha nasin kishtei avanim. Another fascinating thing about childbirth is that a woman's thighs are like stones. Kadeshia bakoach shedehayu lettuce. So she has the strength to have the child. Minayin shekain kasuv arisan olav nayim. So we see that from Shifra and Pua. Amar of Meir, maisa nisim akadosh baruch hu osnei matino kazek kriyas yamsuf. The nes with the tinok is like yamsuf. Heich adshelo teled hi moshechas damim. Until it's born, she has blood. Umeshehu yoledes hadamim mistalkim l'shadayim anasa chalav. And then when the child is born, the dam turns into to milk to feed the child, which is not factually true or scientifically true. V'atinok yonek mechalav umeskadel. And the tinok gets bigger and it gets from this milk, from it being fed. So this is an interesting medrash, but I think the main idea of the medrash is that because we're used to seeing childbirth, that we realize or we don't recognize the miraculous nature of it, that it really doesn't fit into our typical mindset, our typical framework of thinking about whether or not this fetus should exist or actually survive. And the fact that it is capable of surviving for us has to be an element or a recognition on our part of the miraculous nature of childbirth. And I think the Medrash is highlighting that. It's saying that Chazal recognized it. They didn't just, because they got used to childbirth, they didn't just ignore the miraculousness, at least in the superficial on the mind of man, but they recognized it and they appreciated it. And they were able to give Shevach on it. So I think that's what the last medrash is saying. And with that, I just want to finish the shiur. So let me just summarize quickly, and then you can ask questions. Basically, three and a half points. So the first point was on the concept of Eov. What does he mean that he wants to be like a fetus and be protected? It's not referring to the actual state of the fetus. It's referring to being dependent and recognizing our dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our lack of control. And in that way, we feel most protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we can give up our own idea of control, which is a facade. The second idea was on the question of Yetzirah versus Yetziah. And we said that's, I think, the classic question of whether or not a person is his ability to be conquered or the ability of the Yetzirah to conquer him, is that innate? Or is that something that happens because of what we're exposed to and our inability to think when we're children? And therefore, our Yetzirah becomes stronger and stronger as Sholeid us. And then we went back to our Gemara, and we spoke about what the concept of learning Torah in the womb and also the idea of the Shvuah. And I think that's a response to the Shlita, the Sholeit, the ability of the Yetzirah to be Sholeit on us, that if not for the fact that, A, we have this capacity to learn, which is the concept of being taught the Kol HaTorah Kula, it's showing us that our potential, and B, the idea that we're Nishpa, that there's an innate quality in humans to seek out a system of rule, system of law, and God. If not for that, we would really be doomed to our Yetzihara. So because of Chesed Hashem, we were given these opportunities. And then finally, the last point was how we as people have to recognize the miraculous nature of childbirth. And sometimes, again, we forget about it, but Chazal recognized that things that should be unnatural to us, like the ability for us, we can't survive in an enclosed area for that long. We can't survive in a bathtub because we'll drown. But however, a child, a fetus, is able to survive in that capacity. So that is a tremendous miracle. So that's how it should be perceived in our minds instead of just a natural event. So that's the end of the shiur. Are there any questions?